I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Miller High Life going nostalgic, and you can too. The company is set to auction off a juke keg. You got Elizabeth and Radar. It's what you need to know on the go. And this juke keg, basically, it's a fully functioning beer keg complete with a tap, and it plays music. It's like a jukebox. It's a juke keg. Pours ice cold Miller High Life while keeping the classics rolling. And you can bid on this, and it all goes to a great cause. It's on eBay right now through June 8th, so through Sunday, or through next Monday, I should say. Miller High Life is going to award a winner of this juke keg, $150 gift card to fill it up as well. So you can get yourself a half barrel and slap it in there. Proceeds benefit the Wisconsin area music industry, Whammies, organization supporting local musicians and venues all across the state. Check that out. All the proceeds go into the Whammies. And you could have this juke keg. I want this juke keg. This looks so cool.
Music and beer, they go hand in hand like peanut butter and jelly. Okay, what are your crowd-pleasing bar songs, your go-to song? Because whenever I pop in someplace and I see that they have Touch Tunes, which is the app where you can just
play all the bars,
all the songs on your phone.
All the bars have that, right?
And it's great because you can. There are times where my husband will be up north at one of our favorite bars. I'll be back at home and he'll say, "Yeah, you know, Dave and I just popped in, you know, for a burger," and I'll start playing. Like I will bust in like Barbie Girl by Aqua. Because he's up at the up north bars and I'm not there. And also text me, "Are you playing these songs?" "Yeah, I am. What's the crowd thinking?"
Exactly.
Now, that maybe isn't a crowd pleaser. But the classics, I mean, Chicken Fried, that's a no-brainer from Zac Brown Band. People love that.
This. Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy. I had people on tables at Brass Monkey when my daughter Lexi graduated from El Verno.
It's a classic.
They're like, "Oh my God, who's playing this?" Me shoving in money right there.
It's a classic.
You're good to go. Yeah.
Think about Sweet Caroline.
Oh my gosh, that's perfect.
Don't Stop Believing, Living on a Prayer. It's great. Good stuff. And now you've got this little keg that'll give you the beer and it'll give you the music.
Fireball. You got a whole bunch of fun stuff you can play in the bar. You
put that Fireball's on. A good song, but do not give me a Fireball.
Well, it's a
too
keg.
Spicy.
We're tapping the keg here anyway. You don't have to worry about it. You're safe.
You have a new text message. You hear from the downstairs neighbors, and you're not really sure, how do I respond? They've got a little bit of a complaint. It's text roulette, Elizabeth and Radar, and the text says, "My downstairs neighbors asked us to be quieter in the mornings because one of them has insomnia. My roommate told them he'd, quote, try to be more careful, but later told me he doesn't plan to change anything. He thinks it's their problem since they chose to live near a busy bar district. I feel bad for the neighbors and don't want us to get noise complaints, but I'm not sure if I should call my roommate out or just stay out of it. What would you do?" Now, for the neighbor downstairs, they spoke up, said, "Hey, look, I have insomnia. You guys get a little loud upstairs. Is there any way to keep it down?" Now, that's a normal human thing to ask of another person if it really is that bad. But how about the roommate being like, "Oh, yeah, no, I'll try.
Well, I'm not changing anything. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing."
Well, yeah, I pay rent here. I'd be saying the same thing. When is it too loud for this person?
They don't say specifically when.
Because if you have insomnia, that means you're up. So you're not trying to sleep. You have insomnia. You're an insomniac. You can't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So what's wrong with the noise? If you can't sleep anyway, the noise shouldn't bother you.
Noise isn't going to matter is what you're saying.
Unless they're saying, "Okay, I haven't slept all night. Now I'm sleeping. It's early in the morning. And now you're making noise." If that's a possible situation there, I can see that. But
well, and for the mixer that sent in the text, mentioning here, "I feel bad for the neighbors and don't want us getting noise complaints, but I'm not sure if I should call out my roommate or just stay out of it." You kind of can't stay out of it because you live there also. So if there's noise complaints, it's going to fall on you too.
It's pointing at you. You live there, doesn't matter.
You are a tenant upstairs. Right. They're not going to be able to go back and say, okay, who was the one that was walking across the hardwood floors at 2:12 a.m.? Who was that? You're all just guilty by association.
Why don't you just tell this upstairs neighbor or downstairs neighbor, whatever. Why don't you just tell them, look, why don't you try staying at an extended stay hotel and see how much sleep you get? Because there's noises at all hours of
Radar,
the day.
Radar, how much sleep are you getting at the extended stay?
Even when you try and like close your eyes in the afternoon to take a nap, forget it. There's noises. There's people. There's the cleaning staff is singing down the hall. And then there's doors slamming and you're like, oh, what was that? What was that? And then the dog kind of goes, and like, oh, somebody trying to get in? Oh, no. Somebody just closed a door down the hall and it sounds like the whole place is caving in. Oh, my gosh.
Radar, tell us how you really feel.
I'm wide awake.
All right. We're trying to help out this mixer with text roulette. BJ calling in on line one and the downstairs neighbor says, look, I have insomnia. Could you please be quiet upstairs? I can't sleep. And the one roommate said, sure, wink, wink. And the mix that texted in said, I feel bad. The neighbors are going to make noise complaints. And my roommate isn't doing anything different. Should they get involved or stay out of it? BJ, what do you think?
So I've been in this situation many, 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 many years ago. And how loud are they really being? You know, if you're living in an apartment, you got to expect some noise happening, especially if they're living downstairs. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's a kid thumping that I can understand. But if it's like normal living stuff,
you chose to live in a multifamily house. And if you are choosing to live downstairs, anytime I was renting, I was always upstairs because one, I didn't want the noise above me. And number two, as a woman, it was sort of a safety thing. It's like, I want to be up higher with my window so no one can just climb into the window whenever they want. But you've been there before. You've dealt with it. And you understand that that's what you sign up for when you are living with someone else. And I also feel like in this day and age, BJ, maybe you did this when you were dealing with noise in your last place. There are so many apps for sound machines, or you can buy little pucks that are sound machines.
Yes, you can.
Are you doing that at your extended stay, Radar?
Yeah, I do that with my phone.
Yeah.
You know, I'll have something playing. White noise.
Box fans.
But that doesn't really cover up the slam of the door down the hall when someone decides to let their door slam, or the hallway door that slams when they're walking around at 3 a.m. or going to work. Some people are going to work. I give it to them. But I usually let that door kind of close quietly behind me. I don't just hit it.
You should just do that as your karma to everyone. That's your final thing when you leave.
Slam doors.
BJ, who were you in this situation, though? Were you the person complaining about the noise, or were you the person that was making the noise?
No, actually, we lived downstairs. My roommate and I, this was years ago, and he would always say, your music's too loud. We're getting noise complaints. I'm like, what are you talking about? I put headsets on for that very reason.
You're sleeping with headsets on?
Yeah, because I don't want any neighbors complaining. I don't want
earplugs. There you go.
Yeah, no. So yeah, I would earphones with my music. I didn't have it loud at all. So then I moved out. I moved out, and he still lived there, and he was still getting noise complaints.
Oh.
So yeah, sometimes the people that are complaining, I understand, but sometimes you're going to have noise. It's not going to be completely silent.
No, it's just not. But there is a difference between unavoidable neighborhood noise, like this mixer said, they live by a busy bar area, and noise that you personally create and could easily reduce. So I think it says more about the roommate pretending to accommodate just to get them off their back when he's not even going to do that.
The roommate should definitely be able to be like, I'll do my best to be quiet.
But you're not going to walk around like a mouse, or where you can hear a pin drop. Come on. People living together, you got to expect it.
You've got to expect it a little bit. Well, BJ, thank you so much for calling in. And when you have your headphones on, I sure hope you were listening to the mix. Just tell me you were.
Oh, always.
Yeah, there you go. You've got an issue with the downstairs neighbor? Well, you bring it to Tex Roulette, like this mixer. It's Elizabeth and Radar. We're bringing producer Will into the conversation because he's like, I have been through this. The story is, the text we received, my downstairs neighbor asked us to be quieter in the mornings because one of them has insomnia. My roommate told them he'd, quote, try to be more careful. But later, he told me he doesn't plan to change anything. He thinks it's their problem since they chose to live near a busy bar district. I feel bad for the neighbors, and I don't want us getting noise complaints, but I'm not sure if I should call my roommate out or just stay out of it, what would you do? And producer Will, you live on the east side. There's a lot of bars and it's busy there, but were you the person that got the noise complaint?
Well, it's a very similar situation, actually. We got a noise complaint as well from our downstairs neighbors.
Oh, Mr. Heckles! Boy. Mr. Heckles from Friends.
Yeah,
taking the broom and hitting it on the ceiling. You kids.
Yeah, something like that. But they were a lot nicer about it.
How did you guys how did they tell you that they had an issue? Did they send you an email? They leave a letter on your car, on your door?
They texted us. We're in a duplex, so we have like a group chat with all the phone numbers of everyone that lives there.
So they sent a text to all of you. What time of night or day was this?
It was in the afternoon, so I think they waited. It wasn't like in the morning, like, hey, keep it down, you woke us up.
That's what I was curious about. Yep. All right.
No, it was thought out, and they were like, hey, you know, our floor like creaks because it's an older house. And so they're like, hey, you know, you guys cause a lot of noise in the morning. I'm sure just walking around, not doing anything special.
what are you supposed to do? Float?
Yeah, what are you supposed to
do? Hey, Heckles.
That's a great point.
But could you just be more cognizant of how much noise you're making and try to be a little quieter in the mornings? And then they called out the specific bedroom. I was like, oh, they're not talking about my bedroom.
Oh, hands off. It's not Will.
Hands off.
It's your buddy's bedroom.
Yeah. And he sent a nice response back. He was like, yeah, no problem. I'll make sure to be more aware of my steps and everything. Then he told me and our other roommate, he was like, hey, yeah, I'm probably not going to change anything about my morning routine. Because, I mean, we live next to a bar by Brady Street. It's already very loud. If you're moving into that area, the expectation is that there's going to be a lot of noise anyways.
I agree with you. And if you're going to live downstairs in those old duplexes that are there on the east side, I mean, you're going to hear those kinds of noises. But that's a totally different situation. It's not even a bar time. It's when you're getting ready in the morning. Like Radar said, what are you supposed to do? I think about even when it comes to the shoes that a lot of women typically wear, you know, heels and the pointed shoes and all that stuff. Those are going to make a lot of noise.
Well, and my roommate, his rationale was, okay, you moved next to a bar and you're complaining about noise. Even if it's noise from your neighbors upstairs in the morning, you still moved next to a very loud and busy bar. Noise is the normal around here.
Yeah, yeah.
That should have been expected.
If you have insomnia, it's probably not a good idea to live right next to a bar where you're going to get people going to and from the bars and just all the bar noise that's going
to
happen.
Was there any solve to this situation, Bruce or Will?
Honestly, not that I know of. It wasn't my problem.
So you moved out.
And I'm moved out now. Yes. So now it's really not my problem.
So you could just move out, Mixer. Still talking about this noise complaint this mixer received from the people downstairs asking, what do you do? They weren't doing anything that bad to cause the neighbor to get upset. And Uber driver Donna, thanks for calling in. It's Elizabeth and Radar here on the mix. So you had a noise complaint made about you, and where were you?
Well, we actually got a noise complaint when we were in an Airbnb because the person that owned the Airbnb lived upstairs.
Ooh. Oh, and you were partying? You're really bringing in the peeps? You had a rave going downstairs?
We were just talking normal talk.
Oh, sure.
And they called us at 9:30 at night, asking us, hey, can you keep it down? My wife's trying to sleep.
Now, how many people were in your Airbnb with you? Because you have a big family. You've got 5 kids. Was it all 7 of you?
I actually only had it was only 4 of us. My two sons and my husband and I.
You playing Monopoly and arguing?
No. My husband and I were just in the room chit-chatting, and my one son was in playing his Xbox on his headphones, and the other one had his TV in the bedroom. He had it real low, only on like 4 or 5.
Wow, you sound innocent. I can't believe somebody would complain about that.
Who was the person? Who in the family did you look at first and say, it was you?
Well, at first we were looking at the one listening to the TV, but, you know, when we saw the volume level on it, we're like, yeah, that's not it.
And so what happened with the rest of your stay? Did they give you a bad review and then you couldn't book other Airbnbs afterwards? Did you see those people again?
They actually blocked us from their Airbnb by giving us a low rating in that, but it was like we in turn contacted Airbnb and explained the situation to them.
Okay, so you redeemed yourself. You can still stay in Airbnbs.
Airbnbs, we were fine. We stayed in other Airbnbs and had no problems.
Jeez.
Maybe next time invite the owners downstairs and you guys can all chit-chat together.
Well, we tried that. We were being nice as we could be, considering they were above us.
Yes, and
yeah,
they owned the place,
quiet.
And
yeah.
You had to stay there. Was that uncomfortable the rest of your stay, or did you guys leave the next morning?
No, we were actually on eggshells for 3 days afterwards.
Three?
We were like, okay, forget it.
And then
we just sucked it up because we weren't going to get any of the money back. So we were like, forget it, just suck it up.
Shh, quiet.
Don't deal with it.
Walk around. See, at that point, I would have threw the party. I'm like, you're already giving me a bad review. Let's enjoy the place while we're here.
Have some fun.
When your car gets broken into, it's always great when you can find some good news. It's Elizabeth and Radar on the Mix, and an update for you on the car break-in situation. This was over 2 weeks ago that this happened. Well, I was out at an event party that I was invited to. And I want to let people know this happened on a beautiful day. It was about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, drive time. Everyone was outside, people everywhere. I never felt unsafe. And a bunch of cars got hit all on the same corner.
Smash and grab.
Yeah.
Not having ever broken into a car like that, that would be the least time in my life that I would think about busting into a car. Oh, the sun is out. Everyone can see me. Watch this. No.
You would think.
What is the deal?
You would think. And there was such damage to the car and the frame. Window shattered. The mirror. The door all scratched up. This is like a whole thing. So I want to, shout out to Lynch McGuanago, Mark and John, where we took our car to. They have fixed the window. So the update is we have the car back. I was able to pick it up, but it's just the window. All of the body work. Because even the way the window was hanging off the side of the door, the back passenger door is all scratched up too. It's not just the front door. So both doors have to now get fixed because of this. So now I've got to wait to get it into the body shop to get it taken care of. Thankfully, we do have insurance. There's a little bit out of pocket we're going to have to pay, a couple $100s, which we were not planning for. So hey, you awesome, horrible people that broke into my car, get a real job. Use your time doing something more productive.
But wash my car. Could you wash my car, please?
Anyways, there is, though, some good news. So out of the things that were taken from the car, I had mentioned that this was right before Memorial Day, so I had a whole cooler full of really nice meat. That's gone. See ya. Bye. Not going to get that back. My rain jacket was taken. Some Ray-Ban sunglasses were taken. We don't really keep a lot in our car, but of course I had sunglasses in there, and it was raining that day, so I had the rain jacket. So there wasn't a whole heck of a lot that was taken, but I realized later that the Mother's Day gift from my son and my husband was a Garmin watch.
Oh, yeah. We talked about
that. That was in the pocket of the rain jacket, so they took that because it was raining. I ran the dog. It's when I wear my Garmin watch, so I can track her on my watch, but I was going to this really nice event, so I put on my nicer watch, and I thought, well, I'm going to run her tomorrow. I'll need the rain jacket. I'll put this in there. Well, guess what, everybody? Yesterday afternoon, I'm digging in my purse and I'm like, why is my phone not going all the way in my front pocket of my purse? And I'm standing there in the kitchen next to my son, Brace, and I'm like, God, what is... And I stick my hand in and all of a sudden, I found the Garmin watch.
So it was not in the jacket. Here, there was like a week ago, I even said, I'm like, maybe we can track that Garmin. And sure enough, producer Will and I decided, let's look it up. Let's look it up. And we're looking and looking, and it said offline. So we're like, oh, okay, well, this thing is definitely stolen. Probably
gone.
Probably sold in a dumpster. Yep. Who knows?
I was right that I took, but I had that. It's like an over-the-shoulder backpack purse that I wear when I'm running the dog. So remember when I was like, it was raining. I knew I was going to need it the next day, so I shoved it in the pocket because I couldn't find it anywhere.
Yeah.
It wasn't in the pocket of the rain jacket. It was in the pocket of the purse. So I got the watch back, and the reason why I'm so excited about this is because this specific color that they bought is sold out. It's gone.
Yeah.
Even Eric was like, I can try to get you another one, but I don't think you're going to get that
Mother's
same
Day gift
one.
Too. Yeah.
Well, yeah, the principle of it. So the good news is I did get that back, and those horrible people that broke into my car did not get my Garmin watch. So I felt like I won the day because I found the watch.
I don't know, because I think if they would have taken the watch and probably ran, Then you got it back. Then you could say, look at me. Look at all the running I'm doing. Look at the miles that I'm logging on that Garmin.
That was not anything that I was thinking during any of that time.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Senior pranks, an incredible homecoming, and can you believe it's June? Let's get to your three Monster clips of the day.
Number three.
It's Elizabeth and Radar on the mix, and Jimmy Kimmel loves to do this. When the calendar flips to a new day, he puts together a montage of newscasters who can't believe that it's already June.
It is June 1st. Woo! Can you believe it?
Oh my gosh.
Hard to believe it's already June.
Hard to believe it's already June.
June 1st.
No, it's hard to believe.
It is June 1st. Hard to believe.
June. Hard to believe. June. Alex.
Hard to believe. National Dairy Month. Hard to believe.
Can you believe we've already made it to June?
No.
I can't believe it's already June.
I know.
I can't believe it's already June.
I know.
Can you believe it's June?
No.
It's crazy.
Can you believe it's June 1st?
I
Here
can't.
We go. Can you believe it is already June?
You know what? He messed up, though. He messed up. He could have added to his montage the little ditty that we dropped yesterday.
Oh, 100%.
First day of June in Wisconsin.
Come on.
So raise a toast to June in Wisconsin. Because summer here may not last forever. But man, while it's here, it's paradise.
Hit it! Break it down.
Yeah!
June, baby.
If you want to hear that song, it's on the Facebook pages. It's on the YouTube channels. You can go to Mix 105.1 or at 99.1 The Mix. Let's make that a hit, okay? June in Wisconsin.
Number two.
Did you do any senior pranks? Because a North Carolina high school senior prank surprised the principal with dozens of students showing up at his house for a 5 a.m. wake-up call. Yeah. Here is Principal Dr. Brian Muller saying that being included shows he has a good relationship with the students.
I was really honored to be able to be a part of it. For them to be able to include me means that, you know, that we've built a good relationship and can have serious times in school, but also have a little bit of fun as well.
If we would have done that at Hartford Union High School, Mr. Zimmerman would have been on the toilet when we walked, because he was like always up early. He would always send these, like, phone calls would come out, or he was always saying, yep, I'm at the school at like 4:30. I'm there early before anybody else. So if we would have done that to him, we probably would have had to get up super early. And yeah, he'd have been in the bathroom.
A 5 a.m. wake up call. That's not a bad senior prank.
It's a great
idea.
I don't
know if Dr. Brian Muller would be saying that if he had all of his locks glued shut, because our senior year, there was a guy in our class that took super glue and put it in all of the locks into the school, except for one door, apparently, because he forgot that door. He didn't get a chance to walk across and get his diploma
Busted.
Because of that prank.
Number one.
Well, we've got to get to this story. It's a local story that's gone national. Speaking of walking across the stage and getting your diploma, this is at Milwaukee Lutheran Middle and High School, the graduation that was happening. There was a very special moment between graduate Kaylin Barksdale and his older sister, who has been gone for a deployment for a year. And the whole faculty was in on this because she came out and gave him his diploma.
Excuse me, I'm being told that we have a small problem, so we have to figure out where his diploma is. We have every diploma except for one. Mr. Wiley, are you in the back? Can you see if we have one in the back, please?
To my brother, I will cross the ocean a million times for you. I praise God for bringing me home to you safely for your big milestone. Congratulations, Kaylin Barksdale. I am so proud of you.
It's being delivered by someone who is special to the graduate and someone who has been serving overseas for over a year and has not seen her brother in that time. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome home Specialist Barksdale, who is home after serving the Iranian war for the 2/127th Infantry Battalion.
USA! USA!
Not a dry eye in the room. I still have goosebumps even listening to it. What a special moment that they were able to do
That's great.
for that young man at his graduation. And that is your three must-hear clips of the day on The Mix. Amy from Racine is caller number 9 for a chance to win $1,000 in The Mix Mega Minute. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
Let's go, Amy.
Amy, you got this. This is all thanks to Havish, Havish, and Rotier. You can say pass at any time if you don't know one of the 10 trivia questions, and then we're going to circle back to it. If we have time, those 60 seconds fly by, Amy. The time is going to start as soon as we read the first question. You ready to take a deep breath? Amy.
You got it.
Here we go. Who will play the pizza slice with sunglasses in Toy Story 5?
In Toy Story 5?
Yes.
What's his name? He was at the Super Bowl. Bad Bunny?
Correct. Which month of the year is National Ice Cream Month?
I'm going to say, I don't know, July?
Correct. What is the name of Elvis's Memphis home?
Oh, I know that people are allowed to visit it, I think. What is it called? Something Mansion. Graceland Mansion.
Correct. Okay. Which travels faster, sound or light?
Sound.
Did you say...
Bite?
Wait, I don't know. Hold on. I'm indecisive. I'm sorry.
It's going to be. Goes fast. Yeah, you got to spit those answers out a little faster.
It goes by fast. Yeah. All right, so we got through four questions. And you know what? You took your time and you got those first three right. Which travels faster, sound or light? It's light that travels faster. But you were working through it. You're like, he was at the Super Bowl, Bad Bunnies and Toy Story 5.
Yeah, you got them all.
You got some of those right. Oh, Amy, nice try. That's 60 seconds. Just go by so fast.
Super fast.
We'll be listening in the afternoon if you can with Brett Andrews, everybody. 4:05. It's the cheat sheet. We'll give you tomorrow's first question and answer. And if you're calling number 9 around 7:20, you can win $1,000. Katie from Milwaukee won that $1,000. You could be winning that money. And Amy, if you get through tomorrow, you could be a winner again tomorrow. You could try. Nice try.
Okay,
thanks for playing.
Thank you.
When a new employee starts at your workplace, you like to get to know them a little bit. You got Elizabeth and Radar here on The Mix. New to the show is our producer, Will. Interesting fella from the Chicago area. Cubs fan, Bears fan.
Member
of the show. That's fine. As long as we can talk about Bears and Cubs, let's go.
He has to put money into the bear jar. And thank you, Mixers, for always pointing that out, by the way, when these mentions happen on the show. Because we had people that complained that Radar was talking about his teams too much. I think they started to get upset when your team started beating our teams. Because you've always talked about them on the show.
Yeah. They've just never been good.
Yeah, they just were never good. It just became an annoyance when that happened. So now he's putting money in. And it's going to charity. What do you have, Radar? A dollar bill.
Crisp dollar right there.
Dollar bills, y'all. Hi to everyone that's joining us while we stream live on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks to Door Peninsula Winery. But yeah, we're getting to know Will.
This goes for you too, producer Will. You're going to have to put money in the jar if you talk about the Bears or whatever this year. But
that's why I didn't say the team name.
Some of you listening may not know some things about producer Will. And you know what? That said, you've got new audience in Madison. You may not know a lot about Elizabeth or myself, Radar. There may be some things. So a fun way to get to know the show is to play a fun game called Two Truths and a Lie.
Ooh, out of the three of us.
Three of us on the show. That means two of us can tell the truth. One of us will tell you a lie. You have to guess. Who's the liar?
And we've told a lot of stories on the air over the years. So people that have been listening for a long time, this is going to probably be easy for you. But new member of the show, producer Will, we don't know everything about Will. We learn stuff about him all the time.
Got a lot of secrets.
Oh, wow.
Secret. You got a secret? 414-432-1099. Can you spot the liar? Two truths and a lie. Should we start? You want to start, Elizabeth? Or do you want me to start?
Sure, I could start.
All right.
Okay.
Is it a truth or a lie? So two of us are going to tell the truth. One of us is going to lie. You have to figure out which one it is.
Two truths and a lie.
Don't call in until you hear, though. And there's some people like, I'm going to call in right away. You got to hear them first. Slow down, peeps.
Okay. My family was invited to be on The Family Feud.
Okay. Producer Will?
Oh, okay. Mine is that my uncle owns the Rosignol ski brand because, you know, that's my last name.
Oh, okay. Mine is going to be, I entered the race for Milwaukee County Executive back in 2002. 414-432-1099. Two of us have told the truth. One of us has lied.
And we're all learning things about each other in this room, in this moment.
We're learning, you're learning as well.
I'm also not sure now. None of us ahead of time
told
one another what we were going to say. And Radar is someone I have known for almost 25 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have.
But I don't know everything about Producer Will. And now I'm split.
I'm skeptical of both of you.
I'm unsure.
This is great. We work mm-hmm. together, but yet we don't trust each other. This is really good. This is awesome. Two truths and a lie. 414-432-1099. Elizabeth, you said, what's
my family was invited to be on Family Feud, the TV show. Okay. Good answer. Good answer.
Bing.
The answer is make love. Good answer. Good answer.
Mine Whoopee. Is that my uncle owns the snow ski brand, Rosignol. That's my last name.
All right. That's Producer Will.
And Producer then, Will is really into skiing because you do water skiing. You were out in Colorado
The week before starting this job, I was in Colorado snowboarding.
Okay. And
you're from those burbs of Chicago. There's a lot of money in those burbs in Chicago.
Two truths and a lie. And then for Radar, I entered the race for Milwaukee County Executive in 2002. Who is lying? Who's the liar amongst us? Two truths and a lie. 414-432-1099. Can you spot a liar? Well, there's one living on your radio right now. You got Elizabeth and Radar looking for you to solve two truths and a lie. Two of us have told the truth. One of us have lied. Elizabeth, Radar, and Producer Will, as we get to know our own Producer Will. Young Producer Will, you did graduate from Marquette recently, right?
Yeah, okay. 2023.
That's a truth right there. So that's a little bit of background on Producer Will. But we did throw out the two truths and a lie. So Elizabeth, what was yours once again?
My family was invited to be on the TV game show Family Feud.
Mm-hmm. Mine was that my uncle owns the snow ski brand Rosignol. It's my last name.
That's his last name. And Seems like a real thing.
And my statement was, I entered the race for Milwaukee County Executive in 2002.
Everyone on Instagram is calling you out, Radar. Okay. Again, I've known you for 25 years. I even knew you during this time, and you can't even say it without smiling.
Okay. What do you want me to do?
Huh? Again, I feel like I'm learning things about people this morning.
414-432-1099. Line number two, Laundry Shop Linda. Who's the liar amongst us?
It is definitely Elizabeth.
Elizabeth is lying.
Was my family invited to be on the Family Feud? Linda?
No, it's not their family style.
It's what?
It's not your family style.
It's not your family style to go on?
I watch Family Feud every single day when I am making dinner.
Is Linda correct?
Why would that not be my family style?
Just from listening to you and the way your family interacts and stuff.
Well, that is a truth. We were invited to be on the Family Feud. So it was all of my sisters and my mom and I. We auditioned when Family Feud came through Milwaukee quite a few years ago. And my husband, Eric, was like the backup. And we made it to the final round of the audition.
Yeah.
Then we had producers call us a couple days later. And I still have the postcard of the invitation on my fridge because we got accepted. We got invited. And then one of my sisters
bailed,
did not have the availability needed to do this. She worked for a union at this point. She was lowest in seniority. She couldn't get the time off to go to Atlanta. Mm. And they basically told us, we want the four sisters and the mom dynamics. No offense to my husband, Eric. So it didn't happen. But we were invited on it. Again, I have the postcard to prove it. So Linda, that is our family. We were so excited about it. We love that show.
How did you have to audition? Did you guys have to?
So they brought us up one by one to compete against another family. And the biggest thing that I was kind of the ringleader of this whole operation, I told my sisters and my mom, I said, you guys, we have to be super cheesy. We have to, you know, whatever the answer is, we have to say, good answer.
And let's take a look at the board.
Exactly. And they said they really wanted a true Wisconsin family. So when they interviewed us one by one, we had to basically sell them on what makes us very Wisconsin.
Oh, look at that.
And so I led with, I'm a Packer owner. I have a Harley. And my sister was like, I met my husband at a Packer game. And we were like all into
it. You're into it. And they wanted you to go national.
My sister Rachel's schedule did not work out for us to be on the show.
Rachel, come on.
So sorry, Linda, but that is the truth. So we're down to two now. We're down to Radar and Producer Will.
And Producer Will, who's new to the show, we're trying to get to know him. Your statement about
Mine
two truths and a lie was?
Was that my uncle owns the snow ski brand Rosignol.
Okay. Dude, that's my last name. You need to hook this up because our family skis and we got to...
I can see what I can do for you guys. We'll see.
Oh!
I think he just told us.
If it's true.
If it's true. He's very good. He's very clever. And my statement was I entered the race for Milwaukee County Executive in 2002.
I have so many questions if this is true.
Every time he says that, I laugh.
I've never learned this about you. This is true.
Kathy. Welcome to the show, Kathy. Are you ready to answer? Bless you.
Kathy,
Hello.
Are you there?
Kathy.
Yes.
All right, Kathy. Who is telling a lie here? Now you've got two truths and a lie. We've already got one truth out, and that is Elizabeth. So what is your guess? Who's lying?
Radar.
I'm with you.
You think I'm lying?
Yeah, Radar, you have no desire to be in politics. I've known you for 25 years. I've never heard this about you. There's no way this is true.
Can I have your backpack?
Yep. Okay.
Oh, she's got some kid in the car with a backpack. She's busy.
Yeah, she's
Mornings
very
busy. Are busy.
Kathy, you are incorrect because I did enter the race for Milwaukee County Executive. You remember back in 2002?
Wait,
Milwaukee?
So now we know that Producer Will's family is not tied to Rosignol's scheme.
How is this not?
The last name is spelled slightly different. Two-letter difference. Two-letter difference.
Does this help you get the ladies at the bars?
This is my go-to story to tell at a bar.
Really?
Yep.
Okay,
it's
sir.
My go-to. Nice. And it always works because my last name is so similar.
It is so similar. And it was believable, to be honest. But Radar, yours is not believable. And you're telling me this is the truth?
It's the truth.
We're all supposed to believe that you were trying to be a county exec?
Back in 2001 or whatever, there was an issue. The county exec resigned, so there was a special election. And the morning show that I was on decided, let's have fun with this. Let's have you enter. So I'm like, okay. Eventually, Scott Walker won and was the county exec.
But that could have changed all of Wisconsin's political history if you would have gotten this.
I went down to the courthouse. I got the paperwork. I had to file. I had to fill out some paperwork. And I do remember watching the Channel 12 news, and as they're saying, everyone's throwing their hat in the ring from this person to that person to, I think, Scott Walker was, I don't know, alderman or a councilman or something. And also included is Radar, a local radio personality. And I was like, oh my gosh. So then I was getting calls. And
was it a bit for your radio show?
It was a total bit.
So
yeah,
you were not actually planning to do this?
I kind of was. Until they said, okay, how much money's in your account? And I went, account?
They look at that?
You need a political account, like your fundraising account. And I was like, yeah, I don't have any. I'm bailing on this. But I was for a time.
You're like, we just had a second kid.
For Milwaukee County Executive in 2002. I was like one of 12 people that put their names in the hat.
You know what? It's
right
good.
Here.
It's good that he didn't win because I feel like that Chicago Bears team could have moved up here if he would have won.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Finding love while browsing a Jordan Love jersey? That's what one survey suggests can happen at the Packers Pro Shop. You got Elizabeth and Radar. It's what you need to know on the go. a recent poll of Wisconsinites to find the most unexpectedly romantic places in Wisconsin. The everyday locations where people are most likely to roll the dice and hit it off with someone new. Third place on this poll. Much like the Packer season. I get it, because they're third place.
Anyways.
The Packer Pro Shop at Lambeau. Those in the survey say if sparks fly while debating throwback jerseys, that's not just flirting. That's Wisconsin-level commitment. These are from actual people in this survey.
We were talking earlier on the show about two truths and a lie. And when I mentioned that our family had tried out for Family Feud, they wanted to know, how Wisconsin are you? And I revealed that my sister Gretchen spoke up and said, I met my husband at a Packer game.
Look at that.
She was set up by her sister Elizabeth. Oh. What's up now? Yes, so it was Eric and I and my good friend Ryan and my sister Gretchen. Gretchen was in on the setup. Ryan, I love you, but Ryan knows if he would have known there was a setup happening, he would not have gone to the game and would have been a part of it. So we went to the game together. They hit it off. They exchanged numbers. Now they've been married. They've got my goddaughter, Ellie. It's great. And it's sparks were flying at Lambeau Field.
Look at that.
And that's where he proposed to her also, right by the pro shop. Right there by LeRoy Butler's Leap, that's where he proposed to her, because that's where they first met.
So that came in third place, according to this poll of Wisconsinites, to find the most unexpectedly romantic places in Wisconsin. Number two, it's a specific line popular in a popular event in Wisconsin's capital city. The Madison Farmers Market cheese bread line.
Sign me up.
Apparently, the feedback is a connection can start over the scent of fresh bread and the shared local truth that cheese bread is the ultimate breakfast. That is exactly what people are saying according to this poll. And number one, the best place, the most unexpectedly romantic place in Wisconsin. You want to guess?
It's kind of it's so you're weird. Saying it's an unexpected place for there to be romance.
Right. Because we've got, you know, number two, as we just mentioned, it's the Farmers Market, Madison Farmers Market, cheese bread line, and then
which I don't think that's that unexpected.
Packer Pro Shop.
Not unexpected. So is number one a true place that you would never suspect to find love?
Yes. And it's kind of crazy.
And it's a unique, weird place in Wisconsin?
It's a uniquely squeaky place, yes.
Okay, squeaky place. Originally, I was going to say, is it by the Bronze Fonz?
No.
Downtown the Milwaukee River?
No, this is...
A squeaky place. Is it somewhere where swimsuits will get squeaky when you're going down slides? Like Noah's Ark?
That is incorrect.
Is it a cheese place?
Yes.
What?
Where?
Cheese factory in Kenosha?
The Mars Cheese Castle. That's exactly what it is. It's a destination for people who want a taste of Wisconsin and maybe a little bit of love. That's the number one most unexpectedly romantic place in Wisconsin, according to this poll of 3,000 Wisconsinites. Number one. The Mars Cheese Castle.
And maybe it's because it's right there off the interstate, so you can get a lot of people from out of town.
Maybe.
So you might meet somebody new that you wouldn't normally go in circles with and meet out at a bar or a restaurant.
I don't know how romantic that would be, you know. You want to try some Limburger? Oh, sorry, where are you going? Oh, it's not a good line to have.
No, it's cheesy.
Yes, it is.
You have a new text message.
If you know a family secret and it benefits you, do you say anything or do you share the wealth? You got Elizabeth and Radar. Text roulette from a mixer who knows we're talking about them and needs your help. They really need your advice in this situation because this may happen with some of you. I know I've been going through this with my family and trying to get my mom's affairs in order. She's still with us, but it's still, you want to make sure you got things in order. And then all of a sudden you start finding these different things. And you're like, oh my gosh, hey, better let everybody know about this. What do you do? I have two siblings. Our parents divorced over 30 years ago. Of the three of us, I have always had a better relationship with our dad. I lived the closest, saw him more. When he got sick, I helped care for him and was his person to make decisions. After he passed, there were two life insurance policies naming the three of us as beneficiaries. So the three kids got the beneficiary of the two life insurance policies. There was a third policy worth more, naming just me. Do I tell my siblings about it? 414-432-1099. Because you could just pretty much cash that in and no one would be the wiser, right? Or do you want to be like, oh, live with this guilt, feeling like I should maybe share something?
There's a legal answer and there's a family answer. The legal answer is you don't have to tell anybody anything.
Exactly.
I mean, even when people get other inheritances, that doesn't have to be revealed. There's probably a lot of people in your world that have gotten some kind of inheritance that you know nothing about. You do not have to say anything about it. And also, I understand you may feel a little bit of guilt. You may be the glue that keeps the family together.
Yeah.
But your dad didn't feel guilty at all setting up a separate life insurance policy that was just for you. You've also wore a lot of what was going on with your dad, whether it was just circumstance, proximity, timing. You've done that. You've earned that money and your dad made the decision. So don't feel like you have to reveal anything because it's not like he revealed it to anybody. And that's just going to cause more problems. What would be the intention of telling them? If you're going to tell them, is your intention to split it with them? If that's not your intention.
That's what it sounds like.
If that's not your intention, I wouldn't say anything.
Really? You wouldn't? What if there's one of the siblings? Now, I'm not saying this, Mixer, because I know you're probably listening, but maybe one of the siblings is not doing very well financially in their life, could really use some help.
This could be dad's
last little nugget.
You could also do that on your own and not have to reveal where it came from. You could still help out. But I don't think you have to say anything at all.
Do you not say anything because is this the only thing that was secret that you found out about? Because now if I'm the other siblings and you say something like, okay, guys, look, there was a third policy. It's worth more. Just name me, but I'm gonna let you know about it. You know, there's going to be that other sibling that goes, what else do you know about?
What else does dad have?
What else?
Does dad have gold bricks under his bed? What else is he hiding?
Let's go. 414-432-1099. We'll go over to line number two. Christine, are you in this type of situation? Have you been in this situation, I should say, to offer advice to our mixer?
I have not been in this situation, but personally, I think that they do not need to tell the other siblings. This was their dad's wishes.
Mm-hmm.
He left this to them, and you don't owe anybody any explanation. I mean, when I go, if people don't do as I ask, I'm going to haunt you.
Oh! Dad might be coming back being like, hey, I got something to say about this.
I gave you the money, and now you're going to do this? What are you doing?
You're getting your sisters all upset.
Oh, this is
what I was trying to avoid.
Dad's sitting right there next to the fireplace. How do we do? My gosh. You found a life insurance policy with your name on it. Do you share with your two siblings? You got Elizabeth and Radar. And Mixer said, I took care of my dad up until he passed away. I was closest. I helped care for him. We had two life insurance policies naming three of us because they have two siblings as beneficiaries. Well, the third policy I found, worth more, name just me. Do I need to tell my siblings about it? And the Siding Unlimited text line blowing up.
Blowing up. We had calls earlier.
Yeah.
And look, I'll give you a couple examples of what people are saying. Here's one that says, no, you do not tell your siblings about it. Your dad gave it to only you for a reason. That's the way he wanted it. That came from Stephanie with an F. Here's another one that said, after my aunt passed away, leaving me and my daughter money, my brothers found out and harassed us to give them part of the money. We wouldn't do it because they spend money foolishly. Here's another one that says, morning, tell the mixer. She doesn't have to tell siblings. Money makes people funny. To keep the peace with siblings, keep it to yourself. Dad's showing his gratitude for giving just you something.
Money makes people funny.
That is just a couple examples, but scrolling here. Mixer, not a single person here is saying you should tell the siblings.
So there you go. Mixer, don't say anything.
And
I know you were probably feeling a little guilty. That's why you brought it to text roulette. You texted in to 414-432-1099. We've shared it just like we have said about text roulette. And the mixed family's putting their arms around you saying, hey, let's throw a party now that you got this extra money. But yeah, here's your advice. Don't say anything. Take the money and run. You're good.
And the guilt is probably a little bit of thinking, gosh, why would dad put you in a situation like this? But clearly not telling the siblings about it, it was meant to be kept secret.
Maybe that's his love language. Yeah. I don't say I love you, but I'm going to leave this just for you
and
for taking care of me.
Because you were the one that cared for him.
Yeah.
And you don't want dad haunting you.
No,
so
you don't want
just
that.
Just keep it quiet.
Why'd you share that with your brother? How long can you go without hot water? You got Elizabeth and Radar. It's the mix. Maybe you go camping. And, you know, there's no hot water if you're really rustic. You're really out there.
Hey, man, our land up north has an outhouse.
Yeah. Do you have a shower?
So there is a camper on the outhouse, but we do not have water going to it. It's just a place for, like, air conditioning when we run the generator.
What do you do, like, for a weekend?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, right? You can boil water over the fire.
It's Elizabeth and Radar. Since I sold my house in West Dallas, my wife and I have stayed at this hotel. It's an extended stay hotel because our new place in Brookfield isn't quite ready yet. Another 3 days. They're painting now. I drove by. I saw big... like three painting trucks, professional painters.
Wait.
And I'm like,
you
yes.
have driven by. How many times have you guys driven by the new place just to confirm, like, it is going to happen, right? They are working on it. Oh, yeah, they definitely are.
I mean, when you drive by 14 times just to make sure somebody's moving
out. You're Olivia Rodrigo.
Exactly. I got my driver's license.
I'm sick of my extended stay. Is my new place going to be ready? I can't wait to get away.
The softball season is done. Tosa East is out of the playoffs.
So you have more time on your hands.
Yeah. Well, the problem is I came back from the last game where it was dusty and everything, and I tried to take a shower thinking, oh, I'm taking a nice shower after this game. No, there was no hot water. They had a problem with the plumbing. All right, fine. So I took a cold shower. It was like one of those where you use the tub and you just kind of spray water on you, take a cup and you're trying to stay nice and clean. And I was cold. It was cold, okay?
Wait, doesn't your daughter live down the road at the corners of Brookfield? Why don't you ask her to shower there?
She sleeps or something. I don't know. Well, that was at night, so she was working.
It was just too late for you to actually do that.
I didn't want to go all the way over there. I don't have a key to her. Well, maybe we do. But here's the other thing.
Okay, a key. You wouldn't want to just have, hey, Dad's here to shower.
Yeah. Sorry, here's me and a towel. Yay!
She and her boyfriend are just hanging out like, oh my God, my dad's here.
That's true. I should have done that. So here's the other thing. I go, okay, fine. The front desk says, sorry. Two big tanks that we have, you know, there's a problem. We got them fixed. So if you could just, we got this message under everybody's door. If you could just run your water for a while because you might have to get some sediment out of the pipes, fine.
Oh, no.
We did that. It's clean. It's good. Over the weekend, you shower, you're good. Last night, actually, yesterday afternoon, I decide, you know what? I have not gone for my runs lately because I love going for like a 20-minute run. Been coaching softball, don't want to get tired, so I'm going to go for my run. So I did that. I went for a nice, beautiful run. Took me a little bit as I'm building back up. Get upstairs. I'm like, crank the shower up. Get all undressed.
All you want to do is just take a shower.
And I'm like, ooh, it's cold again. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm going to let this run for like 5 more minutes. Nope.
Are you home by yourself?
I was home by myself.
So no one's
so
there to help you or make a call. Or...
sweaty clothes back on. I go downstairs.
Okay, why did you do that? You didn't put on at least clean clothes?
I'm dirty. I'm sweaty. I'm not going to put clean ones on. So I go downstairs and they're like, are you here to tell us about the water? We know about it. And I'm like, yes.
Did you say this happened again?
It happened again. And they're like, it's an ongoing issue for some reason. The last couple of weeks, it's been a problem. Wasn't a problem the first couple of weeks. Now all of a sudden it's an issue. Okay, so I go upstairs and I do that cold shower thing again, splashing me, using a cup. It's ice cold. It's not even lukewarm.
Oh, my gosh.
My wife comes home and she's like, I've had such a day. I just want to take a shower. And I'm like, be careful. It's ice cold. Well, at that point, it got to be lukewarm. So she's like, I'm going for it. And I went, oh, can I join you? And she's like, no, I know what that means. Get out of here. You already had your shower. So this morning, I turned the water on, and sure enough, it's still cold. They've got more mechanical people coming today to work on this hot water thing.
Radar, but I am so sorry you are dealing with this. You are over it. Your patients have been tested.
It is a three-day countdown, though. Can you do it for 3 more days? I feel like I'm camping.
No,
so if I come in here, and I'm looking a little stanky, and you see that little green stuff come off of me, that's my smell. It's just my pheromones, my hormones coming out of me, whatever they're called.
I think you need to go from this extended stay to a totally different hotel. You need a hotel from the hotel is what you're going to need so you can actually get yourself showered and bathed.
Can I get the $2 a day utility fee back for this?
That's just it.
My wife said that. I said, you're going to get like $4 back. She's like, I don't care. I'm going to ask them. No! You want to eat a belt for breakfast? You can eat a belt for breakfast. Did you know that?
A belt?
Yeah. It's a B-E-L-T. It's Elizabeth and Radar. You can join us Friday, next Friday, June 12th, Waking Daisy at the Corners of Brookfield. B-E-L-T. Bacon, eggs, lettuce, tomato.
Yeah, yeah.
With house aioli on a sourdough. Hello, hook me up at Waking Daisy at the Corners of Brookfield. And it's our hometown tour because we're going to be live on June 12th.
This is going to be so fun. A great way to kick off the weekend. We will be at Waking Daisy's 7 a.m. until 10 a.m. You can come watch the show live in person. Be a part of the fun. Be a part of Text Roulette. Be a part of the three muster clips of the day. You can also just walk in, give us a wave, give your food, and then head out if you want to. But our hometown tour, we've made quite a few stops. It's all been powered by the Corners of Brookfield. So we thought, let's bring it back to Brookfield to do a little broadcast there. And a lot of your favorite mixers are going to be swinging by as well, including Brewers superfan Milena.
All right.
English teacher Cole. Mix president Alex. Also, Stephanie from Waukesha. What it do, Patrick? Clean and Karen from East Troy. So many of your favorites have been invited. We want you to be a part of the fun. And you know what? Give yourself a nickname, too. We love the nicknames.
Depending on when my daughter Haley works, and she lives at the Corners of Brookfield, she may even bring down Winnie, and you can pet Winnie.
Oh, my God. The cutest dog. Coda, my dog, if you're listening, you're the cutest dog, too.
Oh, I don't know.
But I will say, little Winnie is a cutie. And Waking Daisy, it's an all-day cafe. If you love breakfast food, this is definitely where you want to stop in. They have the most incredible pancakes. I don't know what their secret ingredient is that they have in there. Is it like almond flavoring? I don't know what they do, but I cannot get enough of their pancakes.
I want pancakes.
You got some bubbly drinks, too. Maybe you want some adult beverages as well. So Friday, come on out and join us, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. at Waking Daisy at the Corners of Brookfield. It's also a great way to maybe do some shopping, meet with some friends, be a part of the fun. We'd love to see you there.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.